first pick in the NFL draft.
Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag with me, your host, Freddie Hall. I hope you're all okay. Adam is back with me to reflect on what was a late night for many people across the UK, going into the early hours of the morning after starting at 1 a.m. You can't say we didn't tell you to book the day off like us two wise men did, you know. Like, if you're feeling a bit tired at work today, it's your own fault. You had months to plan this. And what a night it was for the first night of the NFL draft. I was going to say it was exciting. There was loads of movements. It was a crazy night, like I did last draft. Not really for this draft. It was very, a bit mundane in parts, wasn't it, Adam? Not as many much movement as we thought. I mean, you predicted movement all night, and we didn't quite get that on our first night, did we?
No, it was a bit surprising, really. Was it the first 13 picks? It was all offensive players as well. So that was the surprise, that it was so, you know, it was so heavy towards the offense. I think we thought there would be quite a few, but that really did sort of go slightly more than what we thought. And the first two trades in the first 20 picks was basically the Vikings, and that was it. So there wasn't really a lot there, and a little bit more towards the end. But I wouldn't say any of the trades were particularly big, massive trades. Bit of a surprise.
Yes, we're going to talk, probably do a 15-minute reaction to last night, and then we're going to talk more about day two, round two, and round three. But we're starting at midnight tonight rather than 1 a.m. So if you want to stay up for that, you can do as well. I suppose most people are off on a Saturday, so you don't have to worry about work. But you're right about the trades. I mean, the trading teams in the end, Vikings traded twice. They traded once with the Jets to jump up one spot. They traded with the Jacksonville Jaguars to move up to the 17th spot. The Jags going down to the 23rd spot. The Lions then moved up with the Cowboys to get the 24th pick. The Cowboys going down to the 29th pick. And then the Bills moved down with the Chiefs from 28 to 32, and then moved down again with the Carolina Panthers to 33. So they're the first pick of today, which we'll go on about in a moment. The Panthers came up. Why do you think this draft we didn't see as many trades? Is it because of the depth of more skill positions in the draft this year that people aren't needing to go up as high to go and get sort of, when there's two very good receivers and the rest are not great, teams are likely more to move up, or offensive linemen and players like that. But why do you think, because both of them positions this year have got quite good depth, what is that, do you think, why people aren't going up? It's sort of same with the defensive side of the ball, I suppose.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of depth at wide receiver, and a lot of depth of O-line as well. So there are, you know, that in that respect, maybe there is a desire not to give up too much in order to be able to get something that you feel you can get later on. The other reason, I think, is that when you actually look at who was in the top half of this draft, a lot of them needed the wide receivers and the O-line kind of guys, and so or quarterback as well. So I think because of that, there's no real need for them to move down. Obviously, none of them got the offer that they wanted in order to move down. I know there was a lot of talk about, I believe it was the Seahawks, the Raiders, and there was another team that was trying to move up for Michael Penix, trying to get into the top 10. But they obviously didn't offer enough to whoever it was they were trying to trade to, probably the Falcons, I'm guessing, in order to, you know, to move up to that spot. So, yeah, I think it was kind of a combination of the two, people not willing to spend and the teams that are already there needing them positions. So there was no real desperate need to trade up or down.
It was also a record-setting night with, like you said, what was it, 14, first 14 picks being all the offensive side of the ball, six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. Is it also the record for the amount of offensive players in a single round as well?
I don't know. Well. How many was that? Oh, do you know?
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15... 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 20 out of 32.
That's quite a lot, isn't it? I would have thought
it's... I feel like I've heard somewhere before that 22 in 32's happened before.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay, I could be wrong, though, on that.
Possibly. It was very heavily weighted, especially at the top end. The top half was very heavily weighted to the offense. But yeah, there's, as we said, I suppose.
Fair? Do you think that's fair to the defensive players that have come out? Not fair to the defensive players, so to speak, but this isn't a weak defensive class by no means, is it?
No, I don't think it's awful. I think the NFL, they basically come out and said that the edge rushers and the corners are not all that, to be honest, is what's happened. I suppose there's not a lot of sort of interior defensive line. You know, there was basically Byron Murphy and most of us had Jazon Newton going in the first round and he slipped out. And then obviously you've only got three corners gone. So that was a bit of a surprise. I think we were all expecting a few more to go. The edge rushers did go. You got five, didn't you? So, I mean, five edge rushers in a class isn't bad. So that's definitely showing that there's some decent ones there. It's just, like I said, I just don't think the teams at the top needed them.
Well, we're not going to tell lies and say that we stayed up all night. I actually didn't stay up at all. I watched it this morning. I woke up bright and early and watched it this morning. And Adam got to pick 15, the Seattle Seahawks, and pick 16.
16. I made it halfway.
And I made it halfway and then I headed off to bed as well in the early hours this morning. So when we refer to, you know, last night and our reactions and stuff like that, do please bear in mind for Adam, it's half and half. And for me, it was completely all this morning where I was still in my pyjamas with a blanket on watching all this unfold. Caleb Williams goes number one. Jalen Daniels goes number two. Drake May at number three. We all knew it was going to happen. We all knew. Marvin Harrison to four. We knew it was going to happen. Chargers four. Oh, they might trade out. Took Joe Alt. I think some people felt they might go receiver. That was my idea, but offensive line has been the gossip in the last few days. You believe that as well. Malik Nabers goes Giants. Everyone saw that coming. JC Latham going, flying up the board in the last week, which has been very impressive. He was definitely a guy that was mocked down at the top. At the bottom half of the first, goes up to the Titans. Obviously, everyone had Joel going to Titans. They pivot on JC Latham. Everything is smooth sailing. No surprises. The only surprise is no one trades. And then we get hit with the biggest slobber knocker, I think, of the night. And that is the Atlanta Falcons not moving off their pick, not taking Dallas Turner like we have all mocked and the world has mocked. And not just us, if you feel that we don't know anything about the NFL. All the mocks had it. Your Bookie Brooks, your Daniel Jeremiah's, your Joel Klatt's, they were all going that way. They instead take Michael Penix, the quarterback, out of Washington. A huge head scratcher. What's your thoughts on this, Adam?
Yeah, a very, very strange move. I think we all, I know Andrew was a massive, massive fan of Penix. I am a fan of Penix. We all felt that he had the potential to be a top half pick, but I didn't think that the Falcons would be the team that would be doing it. As we said, that there was teams trying to trade up in order to get him. So the idea that the Falcons have gone out in free agency and spent all this money on Kirk Cousins, and then they've gone and got Michael Penix as well.
Deal. It's a four-year deal. Big money.
And it's a lot of guaranteed money in that as well. And then to go and do this as well, it's not quite the same, but it does kind of feel a little Jordan Love reminiscent of that and Aaron Rodgers. There was a lot of talk of the fact that Cousins didn't know anything about it. Then that, I think, there was some news that came out that actually he was informed slightly just before it happened, but he's probably not overly happy about it, I would imagine. It's a weird thing to do. Bringing in Cousins feels very right, we're going to go for it now, and bringing in Penix, it kind of goes away from that. So it's a bit of a strange one. Personally, I think the last thing you want to do with Penix is sit him. Like I don't get that at all. So that feels like a very strange thing to do as well. And it's just a bit of a head scratcher. I don't really know what went through their mind.
He is a little bit older, isn't he, as well? And he's also played a lot.
Yeah, I mean he's not like. He's been made out that he's 24, isn't he? I mean, he's the same age as Bo Nix when they start next season. So it's not that he's mega old, but the idea of sitting this guy for a couple of years and him not starting till he's like 26 or something like that, that feels very strange.
This is an absolutely no knock on Penix at all, because I like Penix as well. I think this is a complete whiff. This is a complete whiff by the Falcons. That have been a team that people have I mean, they don't whiff on draft picks. They have picked some very, very good players coming out of the draft. Kyle Pitts, Drake London, AJ Terrell. And some of them have hit. I mean, I still think we're waiting on Drake London to officially arrive. I think he's good, but I don't think he's really been the player that he was in, and Kyle Pitts as well, really, to be honest with you. AJ Terrell has been the one that has really come out of his skin the last 2 years. But this, for me, is just so silly by the Falcons. If you are, you have guaranteed this money to Kirk Cousins, you've got 4 years. Even if in 2 years' time you think that this isn't going to work out, I think the amount of quarterbacks we're getting every year in this draft. Now, I completely admit I'm not a huge college knowledge guy. I don't know the years and years of players, but I know how much these players are hitting these days and how much even weak draft classes produce some very high-end talent. It's more about the depth rather than about the individual talent in a lot of spaces. This is a defense that has been poor and needs a lot up front. And I'm not just saying Dallas Turner. It could have been any edge rusher. If they felt that Dallas Turner wasn't their guy, if they looked at Liatu Latu, if they looked at Chuck Robinson or Darius Robinson, or even Byron Murphy, I just do not understand the thinking here. This for me is the whiff of the nut. I think there's always one or two, and there's always one or two picks where you're like, he was never meant to go in the first, or no one's ever heard of him. You know, like with the Jordan Morgan for you guys, I know not a lot of people, if they were just interested, for example, wouldn't have heard Jordan Morgan. But I do find when that happens, they do tend to work out because the scouts see something more. I mean, it's only a handful of players I can think of straight off the top of my head, like someone like Peyton Warner, who's not been transcending, I suppose, for the Saints just yet. But he's still got time to be very good. And I think them guys know more than us. They flat out do. We may say we know a load, but they flat out know more than us. And by that argument, the Falcons know more about something than we do. We've taken this. We're taking Penix here. I feel sorry for Penix because I think he's ready to go into a team. He's really ready to go into a team and start. And I just really don't see where this all fits in. I just don't see where it all fits in with how it is. If they'd have had Cousins for 2 years already or a year in
fact,
I would get this. I would completely get this. And it was the exact same thing with Jordan Love. And obviously Jordan Love now, it's worked. It has worked. But you have to admit, it was only the middle of last season where it suddenly went, this could be working. You know, it was a lot of years before we got there.
Yeah, and also it's a weird thing to do to someone when you've just signed them. You know, that's the other thing. With Rodgers, obviously, he's been there forever. So it's a different sort of situation. You could argue you're looking to move off this one. You've just bought in a brand new quarterback and then you've bought in another one. I did feel sorry for Penix. All the talk was just basically about Cousins and the fact that did he know, didn't he know, and all of that. And no one really spoke about the fact that this guy has, you know, he's gone through so many injuries, really struggled with that and come out the other side and is now a top 10 pick. And everyone's just going, yeah, but did Kirk Cousins know? So it's a real shame the way that it's happened. But it's, an odd pick.
Before we move on to day two, is there any other picks in this first round that you were a little bit surprised by?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I was surprised by the Jaguars taking Brian Thomas. I wasn't expecting that to happen. I don't think it's a bad pick. I think it's a good pick for them. And also, I think if they're going to become a more vertical offense, I think that's a good thing with Gabe Davis there as well. And that, so I think that might open up Trevor Lawrence a bit more to be able to do more. So I think that's a good pick. Just a bit surprised it happened. Obviously, Brock Bowers to the Raiders was a bit of a shock. They've basically gone best player available, I think is what they've done. But I would argue that's kind of messed up Michael Mayer a bit. I mean, do they really need two tight ends? I suppose you could argue if it makes you feel like they're probably not going to go wide receiver. Because if they're going to play Adams and Jacoby Myers and Bowers and Mayer, maybe that's their logic. So
they can play the two tight end sets, can't they?
Yeah, they can. So I think that would work.
It does limit your game though somewhat.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think it's possible. So I think for the team, I think it will probably work out okay. The only other one was a team not picking anyone, which is the Bills, and basically giving, you know, they've traded back with the Chiefs again. Why? No one knows. To move from a fourth to a third, they've given them Xavier Worthy. The last time they did this, it was Patrick Mahomes. I feel like they've not got a good record with trading with the Chiefs. So that's not a good move, I would say. And then I don't really mind them trading back with the Panthers for one pick. I don't really see. They obviously didn't want Leggett. So, you know, fair enough kind of thing. But yeah, so that was a strange one. But probably one thing, and we kind of alluded to it before we came on, actually, we said, didn't we, the Lions picking Terron Arnold, I think, is a great pick. Yeah. I think that's a really good pick in a need that they desperately needed. You know, it was great for him to come out. It was like The Rock coming back at WrestleMania, wasn't it? It was ridiculous. I mean,
he knew how to work the crowd.
So I think that was a really good pick for them. And and the Eagles doing absolutely nothing and picking up one of the best corners, as they always do.
And of course, we're always happy for the Eagles. That's always what we feel on this podcast. Right, I'm sorry, I'm sort of flicking my eyes to and fro because I've got my iPad here with we're going to day two now and talk about some of these players that are coming to day two that could have been first round picks, and we're going to day two now. The Buffalo Bills obviously with the first pick at midnight tonight. They'll be on the clock. So players still available here. I mean, Cooper DeJean, the quarterback out of Iowa. Jazan, affectionately known as Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois. Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver at Texas. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback out of Alabama. Adrian Cooper, the linebacker at Texas A&M. Ladd McConkey. Jackson Powers Johnson, Oregon interior offensive lineman, who weirdly, I actually met a family friend of his very strangely on a train the other week, which was quite cool. So hopefully one day we'll have Jackson on. That'd be great. If shout out to Jackson. Hopefully he lands a team tonight that will benefit him starting day one. Zach Frazier's one interior offensive lineman. Brandon Fisk, defensive tackle for Florida State. I mean, that's just some of the names that were maybe rumored to go in the first round, and some people mocked going the first round. But where do you see this second day, the second round, third round going today?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of wide receivers go quite early. I was having a quick look at just at the top of day two of the second round. Even you've got the Bills who need a wide receiver, you've got New England who need a wide receiver, the Chargers need a wide receiver. It does feel like
Washington need a receiver, don't they?
I don't know. That's they've got McCall, they've got McCall and Dotson there, so I don't know. They could potentially go that way, but I don't know if they would. They're probably more for edge rusher, I would have thought. But yeah, so you've got some teams there that are wide receiver needy. I would expect to see the likes of Ladd McConkey. I think personally, Adonai Mitchell to the Bills makes an awful lot of sense if they decide to make that pick. They need a sort of like a bigger sort of wide receiver. I think that would make sense. But yeah, there's loads. You've got Ladd McConkey. You've got Keon Coleman there who might go in the second. Yeah, of course, Troy Franklin is around, you know, so there are plenty of wide receivers that are about. It's really dependent on where these teams are going to want to go. But like I say, I think wide receiver is you're going to see a lot go in the first few picks tonight. After that, I think you're probably looking at, you know, Green Bay have got a couple of picks. They're going to want to go for like the linebackers and the safeties. I think you might start seeing these guys go towards the middle of the second. And then, of course, we've got the running backs. And as to who goes and where they go, that's all a bit of a mystery, I'm afraid.
Well, I suppose we could stick on the running backs just there for a second. Do you think that is going to be more of a round three thing, or do you think some of these guys are worth... But, you know, maybe at the bottom of the second round, because I know it's not the strongest running back.
No, I mean, I think
look at someone like the Dallas Cowboys might overdraft though, because they are
I mean, Dallas are a team that desperately need a running back. You could argue the Chargers are a team as well. I know they've brought in J.K. Dobbins to go with Gus Edwards, but even still, I think they might want to go for a running back. I think Dallas at the second. So you've got Jonathan Brooks is the sort of like hotly tipped guy to be the first running back to go. They reckon that he is probably most likely to go to the Dallas Cowboys because there's that connection between the doctor that did his surgery and the doctor who works for the Cowboys, I think is the same person. And so there seems to be a connection there. They think that that could possibly happen at the back of the second. Another guy is Trey Benson. He's the other one who they reckon could potentially be a second round pick. The thing is, they're more likely to go closer to the back end of the second. So you sort of think, who's really going to take a running back towards the back? You've got Dallas, as we've said, but once you get, Philadelphia are a team who might, I know they've got Saquon, but they haven't got loads behind Saquon.
They like having more, so that's one. With the Ravens, even if they've got Derrick Henry, they like having two or three.
I just feel like I don't know if they're going to want to spend second round capital on them. That's the only thing. But I do think you will see probably a good three or four go by the end of tonight. Mainly in the third, I would have thought.
And what about the defensive backs? Because I know a lot of people out there are very hot on Cole McKinstry, Cooper DeJean, Mike Sanner. I was about to just say that very, very casually, and then it stumped me. Sanner still?
Yeah, out of Michigan.
Ennis Straw as well. Kamari Lassiter. I mean, there's some good corners coming in as well, which is, you know, when they got down to the Steelers last night and I saw that all the corners were still on the board, I was sort of thinking, well, we could definitely do with a corner if all the top ones are there. I mean, and they didn't fly off the board in the first round, really. A few went, but I mean, how many went in the end in the first round? It must have been
three.
Quinion Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, and Nate Wiggins. Which is fairly surprising.
Yeah, it was a little bit surprising. I'm trying to remember. I think the over-under in the betting was about 5.5. So I think everyone was expecting a lot more to come from last night when it comes to the corners. Yeah, as you said, Cooper DeJean, great corner. I've come out and said from day one, I think he's brilliant. The fact that he dropped into the second round is going to be an absolute steal for someone. I'd love to see the Packers go up for him. I think it'd be great. To have there, because he's very versatile. He's not just the corner, he can play safety as well. So I think that's really important for corners. So yeah, he would be ideal for that. Green Bay, they're currently, you know, 40-41. No reason why they couldn't move up a few spots. They've got loads of picks that they could do it with. So yeah, that if they went for him, I think that would be great. There's a few teams that have just defensively have struggled. Arizona, I would expect Arizona to want to maybe go for a corner at some point. You've said yourself about your Steelers, you know, another team that desperately could do with one. And there's decent guys out there. It's like, you know, Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry and Mike Sanestril. All three of them guys were at the end going into last night. They were being mocked either in the first round or just outside the first round. So that's three guys. Like you say, Rick Straw, I believe, he was another one who a few people had the Chiefs going for on the last pick of the first round. So there's a few guys there. The Chiefs, again, are another team as well who would probably look after Snead went. So, yeah, there's quite a few. I personally, the second round, I think you're going to see quite a few wide receivers go. I think you're going to see quite a few corners go. And I think you're going to start to see the linebackers and the safety kind of lot go towards the end.
We've sort of touched on one or two of them, but is there any other players in here that maybe we've not gone over that are potentially first round talent going into the second round today? I know we sort of said Kool-Aid, Cooper, DeJean, Johnny Newton. Is there any other players outside there that could have been are definitely first round talent and it wasn't sort of their fault that they didn't get picked in the first round? It's just, you know, there's 32 picks and there's 32 players that are going to go, sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Newton, I think, is a definite. I was really surprised that he didn't make it. As you say, Cooper DeJean. Adonai Mitchell, constantly mocked as a first-round pick, has fallen out. Like I say, I think he would be great for the Bills. He would make a lot of sense. So, yeah, him. Ladd McConkey was one who was kind of being rumoured around, but I think he probably is second round. Jackson Powers-Johnson. Again, another guy that was constantly being mocked in the first round. I mean, I had him down for the 49ers because I thought that guard would be what they'd want to go for. Or centre, that, you know, that O-line power there, I thought would be good for them. Instead, they went for Ricky Pearsall, who was a bit of a surprise. But there's a lot of talk, isn't there, about Debo or Ayuk being traded. So maybe that's, you know, they bought in the successor already kind of thing. So, yeah, I think Jackson Powers-Johnson, if you're a team who really want a centre, you know, if that's a need you need, you desperately want, then he's going to be ideal. And he probably is about a first-round talent. But really, once you get past that, you are starting to go into the sort of second round. You've got your O-line guys like Zach Frazier, you know, really good guy out of West Virginia. I think, I mean, it would be hilarious if the Chargers took him, just go complete O-line and run the ball. That'd be brilliant. but you could see something like that happening, and he's a really good player. And like I say, I just think, like, these linebackers, they've and safeties, they've kind of been given a bit of a, you know, oh, we don't take them in the first round or anything like that.
Positional value.
Yeah, a bit like the running back. So yeah. I feel like they've been pushed back a bit. But you've got the likes of Peyton Wilson. You've got Junior Colson. You know, these guys are solid players. And, you know, a lot of people on their big boards have got them ranked in the top, like, 50 players. So I would expect to see them go. But, I don't think there was that many that missed out on being first round when they should have been.
I saw a mock this morning about Junior Colson going to the Chargers because of the Michigan link.
For the second round?
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense. That would, I mean, that, you know that the way that Harbaugh wants to play is it's all going to be defense and run the ball. So, yeah.
In their glitzy brand new SoFi Stadium where they want to be playing fancy football, they're going to
pretty
just
much
run,
yeah,
just run the damn ball. That's all they're going to be doing. Very, very briefly, just to finish up, it's been swirling circulation about Brandon Ayuk. Debo Samuel's now being pulled into it. Do you think there is any chance either of these get dealt today?
I think that last night was the clue that there's probably a very good chance that one of them gets dealt. The fact that you're taking a wide receiver in the first round, when in theory you've got Ayuk and Debo and George Kittle and Juwan Jennings, why are you taking a wide receiver then? You know, so I do feel like we've kind of been given the clue. Yeah, I would almost be a little surprised if one of them didn't. As for which one, I don't know. I don't know where they would go with it, because I feel like, although Debo's older, he is the difference maker. And so if they don't go, if they do get rid of Debo, I think that brings them down when it comes to what they can and can't do. If they keep Debo and keep the older one, then they're getting rid of Ayuk, who, you know, has shown that when Debo's not there, he's capable of being really a wide receiver one. So, yeah, it's a very strange situation. And I'm guessing the idea is they're probably looking for a second round pick. But I don't know. Maybe Ayuk, because because he's younger, he might be worth a bit more, possibly. That might be the logic.
49ers trade Ayuk for the Bills. First pick in the second round, and then take Johnson. Now that would be
that'd be
more exciting than the whole of the first round.
I don't think it would be a bad move at all. I mock Jackson Powers-Johnson to him. I think they need that bit of help on the O-line, so that would be good. And they've already got their wide receiver, so why not? I mean, it would be a good idea. But I suppose Ayuk to the Bills wouldn't be a bad thing.
Well, Adam, thank you very much for coming on, talking about the reaction to the first day and the second round and third round. Yeah, it will start at midnight tonight. It will be the second round and third round. For people who are inexperienced with doing the whole draft and watching the draft, it does get a lot quicker. It is a lot quicker. It's not like this first round every day. It gets the start of the second round. Tends to go a little bit slow. Well, like the first few picks go slow, and then it kicks off, and then it's very, very, very consistent.
Isn't it 7 minutes? Is that right?
I think
tonight,
yeah.
Tonight is 7 minutes a pick, yeah. And then Saturday is 5 minutes a pick.
I think they go even quicker than that, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
And so on Sunday, it'll be round 4 to 7. That, I believe, starts around 7 or 6 p.m., I think it starts earlier compared to the other two. But I hope you did enjoy the first round last night. And if you are staying up for the second round, I hope you enjoy tonight as well. I feel very, very bad for the Bills fans who stayed up all night only to see their team now pick in the second round. So hopefully you won't see them move off of that first pick in the second and you'll get to enjoy it a little bit. Until then, we'll be back very soon with more draft talk from this weekend. Have a good draft and we'll see you all very soon.